allowed to be replaced by the same size.
Save us something to eat.
At the same footprint, rather than require them to go through Board of Adjustment variances.
What they do now, Lawrence, they have to go to the, do a survey and do, provide, to go to, right now, to the Board of Adjustments, the cost, right?
We established by, in Sierra, we use Sierra for the example.
Right.
That they be required to provide approval from the park management and a survey showing what they're changing, because almost every unit exceeds the 35% reference, and the 35% reference includes the mobile addition, deck sheds, et cetera. But it's considered, lot coverage. And some of the residents within Sierra, for example, and not only Sierra, have shown that interest in that we allow them to be allowed to replace an existing shed that was considered non-conforming. That was permitted, that had been permitted.
That would be over the counter, correct?
It could be, but they still need the letter from the association within the, or the owners within the park.
Okay.
And proof that it was pre-existing.
Okay.
If you had 8x8, for example, and you want to replace it with an 8x8, you could do it at the same footprint.
Right.
But it's already been established. For example, Sierra, it's already been established that everything there is non-conforming. And if we're replacing what, something that was already there, and it's the same size, they shouldn't have to go to the Board of Adjustment. That's their suggestion.
That's their suggestion.
But you just can't go bigger. You just cannot go bigger.
If you want to go bigger, you have to conform.
Right, you got to apply for it.
If you want to move it, you have to conform.
Right. Setbacks, your coverage and
setback,
everything.
Same place, same size. Just, you would be, if the council is favorable for it, we'd have to, it may require ordinance change, but.
Right. Well, the only concern I would have is say if a neighbor didn't like the idea that a non-conforming use was so close, and then we're talking about allowing for a replacement of that and still allowing the.
It won't be encroaching any further.
Right, but if they've, you know, if yeah, that's true. I understand that part of it, but right. I'm just wondering if we're not taking into consideration the concerns of a neighbor who doesn't like the idea that non-conforming use has been close to him. And then
the other part of it is that we require the approval of the park. We're requesting a survey. If they have to go to the Board of Adjustment, there's a $400 fee to the board, and then whatever the surveying cost is for the survey and the improvements on that lot.
Which one are you talking about now, Sierra or Bay City?
I'm talking about Sierra.
I think there's several.
There's several
irons in fire out there.
Multiple projects could be affected.
Well, I don't have any problem putting something in writing. I mean, we're discussing it until I see it in writing and see, you know, the details. I mean, you could draw up something, I guess.
Well, we don't want to draw it up unless we had some kind of opinion from the council before we went.
Yeah, they don't want to waste the time.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But
it probably require a change in the ordinance.
It would.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's get specific. I mean, we've all been hearing a lot from the people of Sierra and Bay City. And the letter that I got today, which is about 12 or 15 pages, something like that, from a lady from Bear or Claymont somewhere, is saying that the park is redesigning the lines to make it fit, make the buildings fit.
What are you talking about, Bay City?
Bay City.
Now, Bay City, we're now reviewing the plots that we requested so that we can determine how much of an alteration they've made from what was previously approved.
I mean, I don't think they should be allowed to move the property lines. I mean, I realize it's a common boundary, and anyhow, they don't have markers in there.
But they had a recorded plot. We have to compare what's your record in our files.
What they're moving it to.
But originally,
so they'd originally, be so they'd be conforming.
You
now.
Weren't required to record a manufactured home park plan.
Right.
The only thing had to put it was leased land. The only thing had to be recorded was subdivisions, typically.
Well,
we have our files, and we're now trying to compare their revised plan prepared by a surveyor that's currently active and doing survey work.
I don't have any problem with what you're saying, replacing an 8x8 with an 8x8 if it's been there and, you know, as long as you're not putting it back in the same footprint. But if you're having a survey done, you're moving lot lines so that you can make all these units comply or conform in there, then I got a problem with that. But what you're saying, I don't see any sense in going and putting them through it all.
Well, that's right.
Myself.
That's why we're asking, but there's been multiple constituents okay. have asked for that opinion, so we would have to change the code.
I give my opinion, so it's up to the rest of them to give you theirs.
And your opinion is not to change it, to leave it the way it is?
No, if they do change it, I think. Isn't that right?
If they've got an 8x8 in there now, they want to just change it and put another one in there because that one's rotten or something, go for it.
Just for replacement.
Going to move it to another, if you're going to move it somewhere else on the lot, or if you're going to put a bigger one in there, then I think you ought to come through the county for a permit.
They have to go to the Board of Adjustment.
What we're saying is, you get a permit, you need some proof from the park that they've approved a relocation, and they've right. also, it meets the requirements of the code as far as setbacks, the spacing requirements. And most likely it's going to be required to go to the board, because if you make it bigger, it's going to affect the 35% lot coverage.
But see, the problem, Dale, is when they replace them, it's easy then to move it and bring it into compliance, unless it's getting larger. Typically, right. they get larger. And that's where he's saying we're having a problem. So
well, that would that's still be the require
next,
a variance.
That's though. The next issue.
That should require a variance. Still or require
let's
a
hear
variance.
Let's hear them both. Next oh, yeah, issue. Let's hear them both first, and then maybe we'll, like, P&Z will think about them both. Because
I
both
think
are,
if you make it bigger, the 35% goes up in smoke, and then that's an issue, I think, is what it is, the lot coverage, right? Or if they put a bigger trailer in or a manufactured home or whatever, right? Or,
well, if they do pretty much anything, and most majority of the older parks that were non-conforming, they're going to impact the 35%.
Yeah, I mean,
the difficulty we're seeing right now is that they're trying to put in double wides.
In single wides, a trailer.
In a single wide park, basically.
What you're going to have is somebody buys a new unit, they move it in, and after they get it, they don't know about the 35%, and then they're going to find it. Then the county goes out and inspects it and said, oh, you're covering 40%. What are we going to do about it? You either got to go to the board for a variance, or else you got to make them take it out and move it, and then you're going to have all kinds of problems there. I mean, it's...
Well, the difficulty is the smaller lots. We use a double wide, for example. Double wide's already too big for that lot.
Right.
It's going to exceed the 35%. And I got just a couple of number examples I can throw at you, Ben. It's kind of late, but I can throw them at you.
Doesn't non-conforming, though, mean that something was placed there before we had zoning? Non-conforming doesn't mean somebody brought one in the last couple of years. That's just in violation
that's
of the ordinance.
That's existing
non-conforming. Well, every time regulation changed, it creates.
I mean, you're getting me confused here. What we're
I know.
But see, if you got a non-conforming use, Dale, and you're going to replace it, well, why don't you replace it back into compliance with the ordinance? It'd be easy because you're bringing a whole new one in.
Non-conforming to me.
I think you're talking about two different issues, right?
Well, there's very few non-conforming sheds in these places.
So every time you change the regs. You create something non-conforming.
Right.
For the regulation change.
Well, when was the last time how many are truly non-conforming then? I mean, or fall into the actual definition of non-conforming?
Well, if you went back into the 60s and 70s, people mostly had a trailer.
Right, right, right.
I call them trailers because that's what they were called then.
Yeah.
Careful.
His
name is Lawrence Lane.
And they called them mobile homes, and now they're called manufactured homes, and now they're called double wide and multi-sectional. So.
And they're 8 foot wide. And
they're 10 foot wide.
At the 10 at the
And they might have had a screen porch, and they might have had a shed.
Right.
Period.
Well, the reference to replacement of non-conforming accessory structures. There's no reason why. When it's being replaced, that we don't bring them into compliance at that point. So I don't see
if they can.
If the lot's not big enough, they can't meet the setback.
All right, let me tell you. Being we already started talking about 35%, I'll throw that out.
All right, let's throw that out.
Okay.
Go ahead, we're
film on the table.
Again, the 35% reference. There's been interest expressed to eliminate the 35% lot coverage.
Right.
In mobile home communities.
Right.
Excuse me, manufactured home community. Since it's not required in any other district, anywhere else in the ordinance, only in manufactured home community. Okay.
In the county, right?
In the county. Right. Okay. And you know, there's a lot of non-conforming lots all over this county that are same size as manufactured home communities, except they're leased there are fee simple lots that have been purchased. For example, in a mobile home community, there's 4,000 square foot lots.
Is that the average, places. Pretty much average? No,
typically there are 5,000, but there are some 4,000.
Okay.
Because they're pre-existing, they're allowed to have 5-foot setbacks from their property line or lot line.
For the living structure now, you're talking about?
For improvements.
Okay.
Any improvements. Yeah.
But they're limited because of the 35%. If you take a 40 by 100, 4,000 square foot lot.
A 4,000, okay.
You end up with 2,700 foot of buildable area, but you can only use 1,400 square feet of.
Okay, but how many 35%? Of these? Okay, but Lawrence, there's not many 4,000 square foot lots.
Yep.
There are a lot. Now, when you say that, how many?
There's hundreds of them.
Hundreds
of,
okay. Yeah. But
maybe thousands of them. Not thousands, but.
Might be a
about 1,000. Probably, because Sierra's got a lot of 40 by 100s.
Right.
40 by 90s.
So some actually less than.
Bay City's got 70 by 70s.
They're all over the board?
65 by 70, that type number.
Wherever the pen went?
Okay, if you take a double wide.
Okay.
Just using the dimension, that's sort of typical. 24 by 60.
Right.
That's 1,440 square feet. Okay. They've already exceeded the 1,400, so they're not permitted unless they get a variance. But they've exceeded 35%.
Well, obviously there's going to be some lots. I mean, I would like to build a McMansion, as we say. But my lot may, you know, the land I own may prevent that. So that's just, I mean, if you want to, like we tell everybody, if you want a bigger house or a bigger manufactured home or whatever, buy a larger lot. But if you're stuck with a certain size lot, you're going to be stuck with certain setbacks, like I am on my land and anybody else is throughout this whole county. So I'm just wondering if we change this, if the negatives will outweigh the few positives that you're going to help, but not every manufactured home lot's going to accommodate a double wide or whatever.
Let me just throw you a couple more examples.
Okay.
5,000 square foot lot. 5-foot setbacks if it's pre-existing to change in regulation where we require 10.
Right.
Could have 3,600 square foot of buildable area, but only 1,750 buildable area because of the 35%.
And that was a 5,000. So that would be a
5,000 per block.
Okay.
And again, you take the 1,440 square foot double wide at 24 by 60. You've only got 310 square feet to work with to get your steps, your shed, your deck, or whatever.
They're not going to have to build one.
Right. So I say, maybe some of these lots just will not accommodate certain structures. That's all.
They could have a double wide, but they can't have much else.
Well, then that's the choices that wait, that's the choices somebody makes when they.
I'm not showing support or disagree.
I know. I'm just saying
I'm
that.
Just trying to let you know.
But what we've already accommodated, Lawrence. If you correct me if I'm wrong, you just said right now everybody has 10-foot setbacks, but in these cases, they have 5. So we've already accommodated them. It's like we're going to take another accommodation and keep accommodating.
There's still other regulations. 20-foot space on
I think we need to leave this for Sam Wilson, he owns a mobile home park.
Sam would solve it in about 2 minutes.
Let me use one more example. In an MR district, medium density residential, or GR, general residential, there could be a 5,000 square foot lot pre-existing.
Pre-existing, okay.
Okay. And I want to use that for the other example. The setbacks changed from to 30-foot front, 10 side, 10 rear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So their buildable area would have been 1,800 square feet. But they're allowed to encroach with decks 5 foot into their setbacks. They give them 2,800 square foot.
Now, what's that, on an RPC or something?
No, in a residential, just a regular 5,000 square foot lot.
Okay.
Pre-existing.
They can build 2,800 square feet.
He wouldn't call.
Right. It would be for Bennett.
All of Bethany Beach is 5,000 square feet.
Right.
They're 40 by 100 and a quarter.
35% is not required. And they could exceed the 35%.
Because they can go approach.
And then the accessory building and that regulation, if it's under 600 square foot, can go to 5-foot setbacks.
But don't the people that build, that rent a lot in there really know that the rules, what the rules are?
Well, if you go down, if you look, go down and look at 5,000 square foot at the beach, and George can attest to this.
Right.
They've got almost total lot coverage as far as available area.
But they still have, they do have, I think.
And we hope that it's 40% that has.
Right, if I'm not mistaken, Bethany's got lot coverage requirements, and Dewey probably does, they all have it.
But we don't, the only place we have it is in our mobile home communities.
So you're basically saying.
That's why I raised the question.
Well, you're saying that we treat that form of housing differently.
But one of the concerns from, that we heard from the, at least from one part, is that they do not want to see, or at least some of the residents there do not want to see the change because of their other issues, drainage issues and that sort of thing.
Oh, exactly right. Yeah.
Most of it's backfill. That's the problem.
We need it.
It's not lot size, it's that they let them fill them up.
We didn't want to prepare an ordinance unless we had some kind of.
Right.
Well, support, but a positive opinion.
Well, what he just brought up is you're talking about older subdivisions that don't have any stormwater. Any stormwater engineered into the original site. So we're sitting with old sites that when you start more coverage, that's more runoff, and which could, again, we could do this and something else happens down here. So I'm like a little reluctant to do anything because I don't know if we got that big a deal. We are dealing with these issues through the variance.
Well, they go to the variance, but their percentage of approval is 99.9%? Yeah, 85 or 90%.
Give or take a couple.
Well, that's on everything. Maybe we'll have to look at that.
This is just a discussion for council, unless you're going to broaden it. I mean, it's not billed as any form of public hearing.
Yeah, but
if it was 8:15, I'd say let's let these ladies and.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody would like,
I'm not the president.
I don't really have any problem with it. I mean, if the majority council says, you know, yay, nay, or I'll go with you. These people have stayed here with us and blessed us.
If she can keep it quick, we'll let her. We ought to let her talk. What do you think? And half her little army left, more than half of it left.
No, that's okay.
Half that left.
Good evening. I'm Patty Weil.
Quick means 3 minutes.
Stop it. No pressure. I have a home in Bay City. You've gotten all my faxes. You've gotten all my pictures, Mr. Griffin.
You're a young lady to fax us, okay?
I don't think you have pictures of the problem that I'm having in Bay City.
Well, I can give him all that.
I'm objecting to the 35% rule to waive it. One of the problems that we've experienced in Bay City is the lots have been erased around us and homes have exceeded the 35% rule. Because there's no drainage that's required from the county for the landlords.
Maybe we need to require drainage first.
Excuse me?
Maybe we need to require drainage, not the.
Yeah, I'm working on that with Denrick.
Okay.
So, Mr. Griffin, I also have a copy of a letter that you've written to one of the tenants about the water problems. Recently, a home in Bay City, a couple weeks ago, their car was totaled because the water exceeded their seats. That's how high the water, stormwater runoff gets, because the majority of these homes in the old section are well over the 35%. Two of them that are being tabled right now in the variance committee are 70%. So these landlords are fully aware of what they're doing.
I'm aware of the letter.
Okay. Does anybody else want to see it?
Okay.
So they're fully aware of what they do when they place double wides. So I'm opposing the 35%.
In older communities like your own, you've experienced stormwater problems. So,
stormwater problems.
We just discussed it, and it seems like I think everybody's on.
Yeah. There's over 50 homes at this time, and we're still counting in Bay City that have stormwater runoff problems because the homes that exceeded the 35%
or
ruling.
Is it because they raised a lot? Or is it because of the
we don't
coverage?
Have any requirements to prevent that either.
Yeah. Right.
No,
so,
absolutely. Yeah, I know.
There's nothing in place to support stormwater runoff. There's no drainage required.
Right.
So that Denrec is working with the owners right now to stop them from raising the lots.
Mr. Baker, do we still have, we're waiting for the survey, is that what Lawrence is, they're in the process of going through it all?
Bay
make,
City, yes.
To do the
survey at Bay City now, we're just reviewing it. Reviewing the survey,
right,
to compare it to what we already have a record of.
And right now we're not handing out any building permits. Is there any?
No, we've given one permit for an enclosed porch because it was already enclosed with screen, and all they did was put windows.
Right, but as far as placement permits,
another gentleman that we inspected that was only putting up trim, he wasn't changing anything.
But no placement permits or anything like that?
Now, one of the concerns that I have about the moratorium that we asked for is that we asked for the same thing that Sierra received, which was a survey, an aerial view, and markers. I'm finding out in the last couple of weeks that the aerial view wasn't approved by the county attorney, and the survey we're finding that has been turned in from Bay City, the lots are not what they're supposed to be.
I think our staff is fairly capable of determining.
Well, that's why we wanted it rescheduled, so all of us can be present to review that survey and give our opinions next month. But as you're aware,
I will remind you, you heard the statement made by counsel, the commission doesn't have to allow you to speak.
Right.
But it's not a public hearing.
Right. You understand, you can show up and have a great party by yourself.
I understand what our options are after that.
They're a little tougher than we are.
Thank you.
We get weaker as the hour goes on.
I cannot stress how important this is to us, because these decisions are life-changing for us. Right now, my family has a current lawsuit with the owners. We've spent $10,000 for this stormwater runoff problem. I can't even sell my home because of the water problems. So I'm just asking to please, these decisions are so important. They're life-changing. Even though it's a manufactured community, it's life-changing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lang,
sir.
I have a question. I know this wasn't part of what you brought up when you were talking about the 35% requirement, the lot coverage requirement, but doesn't that same section of the code have some reference to the amount of square footage that would be required to be devoted to recreational area?
Well, it really doesn't amount to much of anything. It says 300 square feet,
but it just
per
says,
lot in
just,
the park.
It just says accessible. It doesn't even require it to be used for that purpose.
No, just basically it's space.
So that's 1.5 parking
and
spaces.
And the majority of Bay City, for example, was pre-existing. So it's very minimal open space provided.
So how many, in say 100 lots at that rate, how much recreational area would you actually have?
30,000 square foot.
Not even an acre.
No, doesn't amount to anything.
Real quick.
Ma'am, please, this is not a public hearing. We're just trying to get through the
then
notice.
Then I'll fax everybody.
Okay.
Has there ever been any consideration for increasing the amount of recreational area that's required?
Just recently it's been discussed, but it would only impact future projects if the ordinance was changed.
I understand.
And we at a minimum, it should be at least 500 square feet. That's still not very much.
Yeah.
Right.
But in a way, I tried to describe it to somebody asking that question. 300 square foot is one parking space and a half. Typical parking space is 200 square feet.
Right.
So if you went out in the parking lot, every space and a half would be 300 square foot.
It's not much.
Very much.
Yeah.
Not for recreational use by on a lot. And it's actually to be located in a separate space.
If you're going to look at revisions, I would suggest you look at that.
As far as
increasing the amount of recreational area that's required.
And it should be separate from
new structures.
Yes,
right.
New mobile home parks.
And right. It would be separate from the buffer zone that's around the perimeter, because that's separate. That's required anyway.
Right.
But they're not using.
In addition, and it should be centralized.
But they're not using the buffer for recreation.
I'm just saying, but it should be separate calculation from that.
Good. Walk your dog.
And then a central location or location to serve the community.
I agree.
Let's go right down so we can move on to the last item. Are you in favor of any of these things at a particular time and to ask staff to rewrite anything?
I'm not real crazy about either of doing much on either of them.
Okay. Right now. Mr. Phillips? No? Mr. Dukes?
I don't have a lot of problem with it. I think that, as I said before, if you're replacing a shed, you ought to be able to do it without having to get a permit or go through the variance process.
You got to get a permit.
I think you still have to get a permit and a couple other things. They were just wondering. So you were in favor, basically, of number one, but number two, you're not. A, you're in favor of. B, you're not. Is that I guess, is the lot coverage, you want to leave it like it is, that it stays the way it is, but the as far as replacing non-conforming structures with certain guidelines, then you would support that?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd like to wait and do it after the first of the year, but...
That'd be fine. I'll second that motion.
Mr. Rott?
I
want
to see what Sam thinks.
It might take that long.
I've had as many faxes and emails about this over the last 6 months. I mean...
Oh, longer than that.
Well, wherever it's been. I mean, still...
You're not in favor of doing anything, Zach?
I think the problem with them in Bay City is more drainage than anything
else. We got
a drainage
problem at Bay City, and we got a lot size problem at Sierra.
Sierra.
Yeah. And Lawrence and I talked about this for hours.
Each of them are going to be unique. That's why they ought to go through the Board of Adjustments so that they can deal with those unique situations. Now, if the Board of Adjustments approve and everything comes down a pike, maybe we need to talk to them.
But I mean,
about how they're
concern we're hearing about is about cost.
I don't disagree, but they're saying they got to pay $400 to do that. Then they got to get a survey. That's another few hundred dollars.
About six.
So they got $1,000.
You spend as much getting to the starting line as it could cost to get to the finish line. For lack of better words, shed could cost $500-$600 or $100 to $1,000, and you could it's going to cost you $1,000 more to get to in the door. So I mean,
you'd buy a 4x6 shed for $800.
Huh? Right.
Might be cheaper just rent mini storage. You forget your own.
I can assure you, though, in most of the towns on the coastal, surveys and stuff, make them require surveys and those kind of things, but. Mr. Rogers, Mr. Rogers, the ball's still in your court.
No, I mean, it's like George said, it's two different things, and
everything's okay.
It's hard to make a decision here tonight about this. Too much going on.
So, what does that mean? That means you don't want to make a decision tonight? They're saying no.
Okay, then here, I'll make a motion that we defer on A and B at this time.
Wait a minute. You put this on, and at least let me give my thought here. You put this on for discussion only. I don't really think you need to take a vote tonight.
No.
All right.
I'm not.
Mr. Baker had something he wanted to throw in the pot.
Sure. Come on, Dave.
The concern is about cost, and one of the things we talked about is on the first one is the possibility of reducing the fee for sheds, for replacement of sheds.
That's a thought. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, we could come back next week and give you, the various options on a piece of paper.
Might be better, yes.
Just think about that.
Yes.
Lewis Ambers calls Savannah Road.
Okay. Jim, do you have anything else?
Hmm? No, just that open.
On the next couple weeks. Doesn't have to be done next week.
All right. Okay. I guess, Lawrence, there's not enough support to do anything?
I just wanted an opinion. I wouldn't ask for support.
Okay.
We just need to know how you felt about the two situations.
I think the only other situation would be to look at, there was some talk about, and maybe we can put it back on for when everybody's a little brisker, for lack of better words, is on the...
talking about a daytime meeting.
Well, that wine is bad.
Yeah,
they shouldn't wine.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to open space. Everybody got a copy? We're out here.
Except Mr. Cole.
Well, I mean, I got it today, and we've had a long agenda. I haven't really had time to look it over. I got...